Welcome to the Tabletop Podcast. I am your host, Marcos, and I'm joined with my good friend, Wen. You know, there's nothing we love more than spending a Sabbath afternoon diving deep into conversations about God, faith, and the ways of Christian living.
We're just two friends sitting down to explore the big questions and everyday moments where faith intersects with life. So pull up a chair, grab your favorite beverage, and let's dive into some soul-enriching dialogue. Thank you for joining us in our conversation. We're so glad you're here.
You know, when today we had a special Sabbath school lessons. We were doing lesson number 13, talking about the armor of God. It's always been a very interesting topic because it feels when like this is Paul's best parable or best illustration, one of the most recognizable that he has in among his letters. Paul uses the image of a soldier as a way for us to be prepared for the oncoming battle, the ongoing battle between good and evil. What do you think, when has been your experience when studying Ephesians chapter 6?
Yeah, the fact that we are definitely fighting against powers and principalities, you know, not of this world. We are not fighting against flesh. So to speak, when you're talking about the breastplate, the armor, you're deflecting things you don't necessarily always see. You know, you think of a soldier, you're thinking in battle. You can see your opponent in front of you and attack them. But with Ephesians, you see it's 6, verse 12, we see exactly what's being said there. Paul is saying we're not fighting against the powers of this world. And there's a spiritual battle going on that we're constantly having to deflect, and we're constantly having to fend off and fight. It's a type of battle that never ceases. So we're constantly in this battle. And that's where Paul starts talking about having all your armor on to be able to take on these things that are really, it's hard to see. You can't see them. You know, before my old life, whenever I didn't have God in it, it was very difficult for me to see these kind of things. And I would have looked at you and said, you're crazy if you started bringing up certain spiritual aspects. But as I've grown in Christ and when I came to God, now I can see it a lot more clearly how these things are all over. They're in the world. Unfortunately, people, where every person is fighting these battles right now. It's just, it's not a battle you can see clearly in front of you, as in a soldier fighting a soldier, but we're dealing with these powers that are not of this world. And it's things we can't see with our human eyes. But man, when you get into the spiritual warfare, it's a whole nother area.
You know, when we read Ephesians 6 and we look what Paul specifically wanted to highlight, you mentioned the breastplate, you can add to that the shield and the helmet. These three things are mostly designed for protection. Sword is designed for attacking, but most of the things that Paul chooses to emphasize was more things of protection. And when we look at specifically the Psalms, God really enjoys comparing himself to many different elements that revolves around protection. We have a Psalm that talks about that God is like a tall tower, and in which we can go to him and then we can feel safe. Like, we see another verse where God compares himself to a fortress, like my rock and my salvation, like I shall not be shaken. So God enjoys and us to see him as a protector, somebody that we can go behind for him to provide his protection. For me, it's fascinating to understand that God really wants to remind us time and time again that he is our protector, that we could just need to run to him and he's able to shield us from these oncoming attack that the enemy is going to throw at us. But I didn't know if you noticed, when that for me the most unique one of all of the aspects was the feet, that talks about like the sandals that associated with peace. Because the lesson today remind us that Paul is taking this from Isaiah. And I think it's Isaiah 52 Beautiful are the mountains and those of the feet, goes to tell the good news of salvation. He's taking elements from Isaiah to talk about that those of us that really believe in God and really have God in our hearts, we cannot wait to share God to others. What has been when your experience, you sharing your found beliefs, your new sense of coming to Christ, have you felt like you've been running around telling people about the things that you have encountered and the new changes in your life?
Absolutely. I kind of feel sometimes it's a little too strong. So it's kind of like I akin it to the woman at the well when Jesus met the Samaritan at the well, and she wanted to run around and tell everybody about this Messiah that she met that told her all about all the husbands she had. You know, it was a miracle to her how Jesus handled that. And he revealed himself through that. And so what she wanted to do was she wanted to run around. She wanted to tell everybody about him. And when first coming to God, that's kind of where I was. I kind of wanted to start telling everybody who God was when I didn't even know who God was myself in this time. But I can tell you I knew enough that God was loving, kind, and I couldn't believe that he was doing these things for me after I'd spent so many years telling him, go away, go away, go away. He never left. And so, you know, sometimes when we're trying to share, we can be a little aggressive. And that's, I guess, where the Holy Spirit's got to come in to tell you who to be aggressive with, who not to be aggressive with, because I didn't know how to control any of that, especially in the very beginning. And so it would come off a little too strong to some people. And I think I would tend to push them a little away. I think I did more harm than good, especially, I will tell you, especially with family, because, you know, family knows you, family have seen you, and they see the transformation, but still they don't understand the things that are happening because it's happening to you, it's personal to you. And so really what happens or tends to happen is you want to be able to say, why can't you see this? I can see it. Why can't you see it? But I have to remind myself, growing up the way I grew up, these biblical truths were something I didn't see and something I never looked for. So it was,
you know, in my experience, it was the opposite effect. Me being born and raised in the church, it felt like I didn't have to be preaching or telling others, because being in an environment where the majority is already Christian / Adventist, there's no need for me to tell, especially when you're young. In my case, I accepted Christ when I was very young. So you have a more legitimate reason as a kid not to be going on the streets trying to speak about Christ in a way that you feel comfortable as a kid, and a way that you feel like you're convincing people to really believe. It's interesting because the Bible wants us to have an aggressive mentality, but it wants us to be passive in our strategy. The Bible wants us to always be thinking about how to help others, which is a very aggressive way of like, whomever is around me, I need to make sure they know about Christ. But at the same time, when we look at Jesus' example, Jesus was very strategical in the way that he engaged people in order for them to eventually accept him. So you see that in the story that you referenced, Jesus wasn't really aggressive, but Jesus really pinpoints something specific that she was able to take hint of, that only somebody of Jesus' stature is able to really say something to this level. It wasn't that Jesus was aggressive, but there's another occasion where they were selling stuff around the temple, and then you see a very aggressive Jesus throwing away tables and everything and really speaking with like strong words.
He called them a den of thieves, you know, in the Lord's house. You know, it's... I tell you, even early, what happened was I would get on social media. I would try to get in there and try to make arguments with people, but on social media, this is the world we're in now. You know, it's not as much face to face. We're in a social media driven world. And I would, you know, get in there and try to correct people in their error. And I thought, oh, here, I can get in there and correct them in their error. And I would tend to find that people would dig in deeper to the error rather than listen. So it almost seemed like it did so much more harm that I just stopped. And that was just the Holy Spirit coming and telling me, you know, look, you're being a little too aggressive with this. It's not going to change. You're not going to change somebody's thoughts through this, but I would think, man, if I could just give them this one verse, this is the verse that did it for me. It doesn't work like that for everybody, you know? And I think it always starts back at a proper relationship. And I think a lot of today's, I maybe testify to today's, especially in America, but young Christians and Christians for as a majority don't have that true relationship that's really tight. It's normally grounded in their parents, their pastor. It's grounded on something else. Whereas I was taught when I finally found God to get grounded in the Bible and grow my relationship through the Bible in these biblical truths versus what the pastor tells me or what my family tells me. So I was able to learn for myself and build my own relationship. And so we got to think of that when we go out to the world, social media, anything, and maybe just remind ourselves to start at the foot of the cross, right back to Jesus, because that's where it starts for us. That's where it starts for everybody. It's just, it's the mentality of though, when you have these moments of excitement, and you just look, I'm not trying to be, you know, it's almost like you ever talk to somebody and you're talking really loud or something because you're excited, you know, you're excited to tell them about it. So it's not that you're yelling at them, but you're talking very loud and excited. And you're like, I have such good news. Let me tell you about this. This is fantastic. And they perceive it as you're being loud and aggressive and mad. So as Christians, you know, we got to be aware of that and just be careful. But that's something that with social media, man, it's a whole nother world dealing with that.
And we see that because of that encouragement and social media being the tool that is available to all of us. In your experience, when now that you have tried the social media evangelism type of effort, have you gained any advice on how you would now engage people in order for them to try to find their own way? Because when I was developing my relationship with Christ, it was still a time where social media was not as prominent, nor I had access to it in a way that I have now. So in a way, it was easier for me to have my own relationship. But what inspired me was that I realized that I was good enough of studying the Bible by myself that I felt that I was able to participate in the adult table, in the adult conversation, right? And then that gave me that extra spark to come ready, like with knowledge, to come ready with Bible verses. And the feeling of being accepted, like the feeling that I was contributing to an adult conversation about Christ and about just speaking about my experience was enough for me to get hooked in the sense that this is something that I love to do, speaking about Christ in a very deep way and sharing our experience, because it inspired me to have this relationship with God, to grow in his relationship. So I'm curious to see now, because in your case, your experience of accepting Christ came during your adult life after having a difficult time. What would be your recommendation? What would be your advice to people now that wants to have their own relationship with Christ?
Oh, I would say, I'm going to go back to John with the story with the woman at the well. If you look at John 4 and then chapter 29, but I'm going to start at 28. So verses 28 and 29 is John chapter 4, verse 28 and 29. I'll read it. Verse 28 says, "The woman then left her water spot, went her way into the city and said to the men," verse 29, "come see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" And so what I take from this is kind of what I think we should be doing is not just dropping out on social media and saying, this is the truth, this is truth. No, we need to say, come and see. Come and see. Come see it for yourself. Come and see. We need to invite people. Invite people to learn about our Christ. Invite people to the truth. But not just telling them, this is what it is. It's come and see. And I really like that, how she says. She says just that. She didn't say, just believe the words I'm saying. Come and see. Come see it for yourself. And I think that's where we are within the world we live in is look, we need to invite people to come find Christ and invite them to come and see.
So in summary of everything that we can learn from Paul's analogy with the armor of God, we can not only understand that God really wants his protection to be bestowed upon us in every way, from any angle the enemy could attack from, but there's also this sense of desire to then share. They can also enjoy this experience the same way that you and I have been enjoying it. Whether or not it takes a challenge, like it was in my case, it took a personal challenge that was accepted and it was recognized for me to put my armor. And even in times of struggle, I haven't abandoned my armor. Or in your case, that it's better just to come and see. Test it out yourself. At least try it one time. A free trial, try it one time to see if God is not faithful into your life. That could be what people are missing. To have this challenge or to just try God out for a moment in their lives, just for them to taste and see the beauty that it is to be in God's presence. That's it for our time today. I hope you guys have enjoyed our Tabletop Cupcast, and I expect you guys to come by next time.
Absolutely. Thank you all for listening. We enjoyed it.